But take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I came across a story some years ago about a businessman who was scheduled for a very important meeting that required him to take a late-night train to his destination. Knowing that he most certainly would be asleep when the train came to his stop, he spoke with one of the attendants and requested his help. He said, "I have a most important meeting of my life in the morning, and I cannot afford to miss it. When the train pulls into Chattanooga at 2 a.m., wake me up and help me off of the train. I will be grumpy and beg for sleep, but do whatever it takes to get me off of this train." The next morning, when the man woke, he was still on the train, and he had missed his stop. He became livid and raged all over the porter who had was supposed to assist him off of the train in the middle of the night when the irate passenger disembarked. Another passenger who had witnessed the harsh words tried to console the attendant. He said, "In all of my life, I have never seen anybody get so upset." And the porter replied, "You got it if you guessed it here. That ain't nothing. You should have seen the guy that I threw off the train at 2 a.m. in Chattanooga." Good intentions. He had good intentions to help this man. He just helped the wrong man off of the train. I want to speak to you this morning about a passage of Scripture that has the context that's important, but I want to use an application of the context to speak to us about what's coming before us in 2 weeks with our special services with Morris Gleiser. We all can look forward to that and have an anticipation of what that may be like, and we may approach it with good intentions of being here and sticking with it for the Sunday through Wednesday night services. And I hope that that is your intention, that you are one that is looking forward to it, and that you want to be here, and you're planning to be here with us. But good intentions by themselves doesn't always get the work done. It doesn't always come out like we may have expected. There's always the devil trying to throw a monkey wrench into our plans, and things are going to happen. There are going to be difficulties that are going to arise, and we're going to find that it is not as easy to be present here in the services as what we might have imagined. And so I want to speak to you a little bit about these intentions that we are to start well, but we are also to end well as we can by God's help. And to perform that, we see in verses 10 and 11, it says, "And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be froward a year ago." The word froward is used several times in this passage. Has to do with the idea of being eager there, of having a desirous feelings toward. They were desiring to do what this context is speaking of, which is about giving financially. They were desiring to do it, and they were eager to get started with it and had begun. He says, "Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have." And so, as I said, we'll look at the context of what it's talking about and receive the lesson that the Lord gave to us through the Apostle Paul. But we also want to apply it in the area of our eagerness and our desire to be here present and our intention to do so, that we also follow through with that which we have intended, with that which we have begun. And so let's decide in advance not to easily excuse ourselves from attending during the week of revival services that we have. I've entitled the message this morning, "Be Faithful to Finish." Father, I pray that as we look into your word, that you may allow me a clarity of mind to explain exactly what you're dealing with of the principles of your scripture here. And may we apply them also, Lord, as we look forward to what you will encourage our hearts with. And pray, Lord, and keep praying that from now through the end of our special services, that you may have done a great work in our heart through your word and through your Holy Spirit during that time. Thank you, Father, for what you will do now this morning. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 and following, we have several things of the specific lesson that we want to learn. In the context, as I said, it's talking about the subject of giving financially unto the Lord. And the first thing that I want us to see in verses 1 through 5 is the example of the Macedonians. In verses 1 through 5, it says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit." Now, the word "wit" is just an old English word. It means to know. We want you to know of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction and abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. What does all that mean? Well, it means here that they gave in spite of their circumstances. They were in deep poverty. One of the reasons that they were in deep poverty was their great trial or trials that they had faced. In the early church, there were people that were getting saved, and because they were getting saved, the other family members were pretty much ridiculing them and excluding themselves from them. Some of them, if we could put it in our vernacular today, may be losing their jobs, or they may be demoted, and so they don't have the income coming in necessarily that they used to have. And so in their creating their poverty and their circumstances, they had a great desire and a joy as they started giving, but here was a situation that was coming up that might, in some people's minds, say, "Hey, I just can't do it anymore. I can't tithe anymore like I once did. Or I can't do this as far as giving, whether it may be to help out an evangelist or a missionary or whoever may be present." But they gave in spite of their circumstances. Their eyes were not on the circumstances. Their eyes were on Christ. We saw that in the message, in the lesson that the Lord gave us as he walked on water, so to speak. And Peter says, "Hey, can I walk on water to you?" And he said, "Come on." And as long as Peter kept his eyes on the Lord, he walked on the water. But when he got his eyes off of Christ and started looking at the circumstances around him, all the waves and the wind and the storm that was there, then it began to sink. So it is with us when we get our eyes off of the Lord Jesus Christ, of what he has called us to do, of the promises in which he has promised to be there and to provide for and to help us, and we get our eyes off of that and off of him, and we get it on to the circumstances that we're in, woe is me, we begin to sink. We begin in despair. And certainly then, obviously, we cannot do as we once should have and desired to. So their dependence was not on their job, but it was on Jesus. And our attendance to these services that we're looking forward to is not going to be up just to us, but we're going to have to rely upon the Lord, because the devil is going to try to bring up circumstances, bring up situations that will try to discourage you from being here. Even right now, the devil may be working on somebody's mind, saying, "You know, I know he means well, but you just can't do this." And already making excuses in your mind as to why it's not going to work. Don't let the devil have that kind of victory over you this morning. Here's an example of these Macedonians. Not only that, but in verse 3, it says, "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves." Another characteristic that I see here is the need for us to willingly be able to give sacrificially. Here it's talking about finances and giving for others that they were helping. Even in their poverty, in their circumstances, they were still willing, had a willing heart to give, and they were doing so of themselves. Even beyond themselves, God was helping them. That's the only beyond ourselves there is. And when it gets beyond, out of our hands, beyond our hands, it's always still in his. And we know that God is in control, and we know what God wants from us. And I pray that we would listen to what he says and not what circumstances seem to want to dictate. We ought to come willingly to the services. In verse 4, It says praying us with much entreaty. That means they were begging us, Paul says, that we would receive the gift, we would receive their financial sacrifice that they were giving, and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. The fellowship of the ministering of the saints. You know what that means? Let's say that we had a missionary here this morning, and we wanted to give financially to help this missionary on his way in his work. When we do so, both in prayer and in financial giving, we are entering in to the ministry with that young man or woman that's in missions. Same thing with an evangelist. When they come and we give a love gift unto them, we're entering into their ministry with them. And as the Lord blesses in their life because of their faithfulness and what God is doing, and souls are saved and people's lives are revived, part of that, God says, is because of your faithful giving to help them on the way. And so we have that opportunity, and that's what these Macedonians were saying. They are praying, so, you know, allow us to be a part. Allow us to have a hand in this. Even though we don't have much, we want to willingly, faithfully, sacrificially give that we may enter into the ministry of the saints. Verse 5, they gave of themselves first. It says, this they did, and not as we had hoped, but it went on beyond what they had hoped. It says, but first gave of their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. You know, that's one of the first things that we've got to come to grip with when it comes to our giving unto the Lord. It's not just giving of our possessions. It's not just giving of our time. It's not just giving of effort, but first it's giving of our own selves. We've got to have a heart that says, Lord, I am yours. I want you to know not just that I belong to you, but I'm your man. I'm your woman. I'm your young person. I'm yours to use as you see fit. What a dedication of life that is. God wants us to have that mentality toward him. We belong completely to him. We ought to recognize it and surrender our life unto him first. And then the giving in other areas comes so naturally after we've first given ourselves to the Lord. And the same thing is true as we apply it to the time of our attendance. When we have given ourselves unto the Lord, our time unto the Lord is just a little thing to come beyond. So I encourage you with that as you think about the example of the Macedonians. And then I want you to see here the spiritual gifts that are spoken about in verses 6 and 7, where he says there in verse 6, insomuch that we desire Titus that as he has begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. You know that when we think about spiritual gifts, and for those that may not know exactly what I'm talking about, once you're saved, at salvation, God gives unto every believer at least one spiritual gift, and some, I believe, more than that. And that spiritual gift is given unto us that we are to exercise through the local church in ministry of some sort. God has a purpose for every one of us. He has a gift that he has given, and he expects us to use that gift faithfully for him. And those gifts, those spiritual gifts, the charisma gifts, they are grace gifts. They're gifts that God gives out of his grace to us. David was talking about in Sunday school this morning about grace. What is grace? It is God giving to us something that is good that we do not deserve. Neither can we earn it. Salvation is by grace through faith. You see, salvation is something good that we do not deserve. Neither can we earn it. But God freely offers that and gives that to us when we exercise faith in choosing the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And so it is God's grace gift. And he speaks about this grace also, excuse me, in verse 7, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, all right, here are different spiritual gifts he's talking about. See that you also abound in this grace also. This spiritual gift. He's talking about here in the context, obviously, of giving. And so, as they have opportunity to use their spiritual gifts in the church, he says, see that you also abound in using the giving opportunity, your gifts of giving unto the Lord. So, exercising these spiritual gifts. In verse 8, as sincerity of showing our love, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness or the eagerness, desireness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. You know that our giving unto the Lord of our finances is a demonstration of our love for the Lord. You see, we can never repay God. That's not what giving is. Nothing that we could ever give can repay God for the salvation that he has given to us. It cannot be bought, purchased in any way. All we're doing is responding to what he has commanded us to do. Let the tithes be brought into the storehouse and to the church. And we're to do so in collecting that. And we're to do so willingly. We're to do so proportionately as the Lord has given unto us. There are a lot of different things that we could look at, as we have before in the stewardship of life messages. But in these, we have a responsibility as a steward of God with the money that he has entrusted us with to be found faithful in our giving. And our giving unto the Lord is a demonstration of our love. Our service of and to the Lord is a demonstration of our love. And so we have opportunity to demonstrate our love. And as we apply that to our attendance, to these special meetings, in our attendance there to these meetings is a demonstration of our love unto the Lord as well, as we have that opportunity. And so we should be, our attendance should be a motivated by our love for the Lord and a desire for his word. And verse 9, he gives us the example of Christ. We're to know Christ's example, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Now he's talking about in general here, the salvation given unto us, eternal life to dwell with him. We know that he came and became poor. David again matched us in Sunday school here with Philippians chapter 2, the humility of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he says in verse 5 of Philippians 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. All right, here was Christ's mindset. It says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery, something to be grasped at, held on to be equal with God, but he was willing there, he says, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Here Jesus Christ left all that he had in heaven. Left all of the majesty, the glory that was surrounding him there, all of the riches of heaven that he had at his fingertips, he laid aside and willingly confined himself to a human body. And not only confined himself to become a human, but he didn't become a rich human. He didn't become a powerful human far as position-wise. He says, but the Son of Man hath not place to lay his head. The Lord Jesus Christ never owned anything. And the only thing he ever purchased was my sin debt. He redeemed every one of us. But he became poor that we might be rich. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ mentality. And we're to have the same mentality for us in our giving to help others, in our giving even to serve the Lord. Sacrificial example of following the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was one willing to give in order to help others. And then in verses 10 and 11 and 12 that we've looked at already a little bit, in verse 10 it says, "And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, and not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago." You had a desire even a year ago, and you've begun now to do. They had an eagerness that wanted to give, even through the difficulty circumstances that had arisen. Verse 11, he says, "Now therefore perform the doing of it, that is that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also of that which you have." Here the Lord, through the Apostle Paul, primarily says, you had a desire to give. You started to be faithful. Circumstances came in of difficulty. But keep your eye on me and continue to do what you know is right. And that is true when it comes to our giving unto the Lord, and it's true when it comes to our attendance in his church. Whether it be any given Sunday, this is the Lord's house. This is what he expects. And especially when we are facing these special meetings, I think I have it written somewhere else to say this, but I'll say it right now. I don't plan these special services for my own benefit only. Now, I pray I benefit from them spiritually. Because you know where revival starts? Everybody ought to do that to yourself. Because that's where revival starts, right here in our own heart. And I pray that God would stir my heart as we go through these services. So I'm going to benefit, but it's not planned just for my benefit, but I plan it for your benefit. And so it's not something that we just look at and say, yeah, I don't know, nothing else is going on, maybe I'll show up. That's not the right attitude. But Lord, even in the midst of other things going on, because the devil's going to make sure there are other things that are optional. Don't make church on the bottom of the list. Don't put God at the bottom of your life when there's nothing else going on. But make sure you commit to him. Perform those things that there was a readiness and willingness to do. Verse 12, "For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to he hath not." You know, God has given to us. We don't look around. God doesn't look around and says, you know, everybody in here that did not give $100 today at least, yeah, it don't even count. That's not the way that God looks at giving. He knows exactly what he has given you financially. And he knows what you're to give proportionately to that. We're to be faithful with what God has given us, it says. And God knows exactly what that is. I'm glad I don't have to be the judge of that. I've got to be the judge of that in my life for what I give. You be the judge as God lays upon your heart there. It should be willingly, and it should be proportionally. And then out of verse 11 there, the general principle, follow through with a good thing that you start. And that's what we're talking about this morning. Applied to giving for sure, but also, as I said, to our attending. Don't let circumstances deter you from doing what is right. And then with that as well, these services that are coming up are for your benefit. And it will benefit us if we take advantage of it. So I ask you as I close with these thoughts, what is God emphasizing in your heart this morning today? It may be something about salvation, because he became poor that we could have the forgiveness of our sin and eternal life with him in heaven. We could be rich. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ that has died for you? As I preached up at the funeral Friday morning, saying, Lord, help me to share clearly your gospel. I don't know how to do that but one way. And that is to tell, hey, it's simply hearing that you're a sinner, believing that you're a sinner, that believing that Jesus Christ died to pay for that sin debt so that you wouldn't have to die and go to hell, and believing that he is offering it genuinely to whosoever will receive it. And that means you. And then just simply by faith, like you do with any gift of God or any gift from anyone else, make the choice just to receive it as yours. There's a lot of people that believe. I told you before about the chair illustration. I believe that that chair will hold me up. Now, I've been on it this morning. But let's say I'd never seen it before. I look at it and say, I believe that that chair will hold me up. But is that chair holding me up? No, not right now. Not until I trust my weight to it is it holding me up. A lot of people believe in God. They believe Jesus Christ died for them. But they are not personally trusting what he did to be their payment of sin. There's never come a point in their life where they understood that they had to make the choice. It just doesn't automatically happen. None of us have always believed in God and been saved any more than every one of us has a birth certificate this morning. There was a time and a place that we got born. And there also is a time and place that we get born again spiritually. And so if you've never come to that point, if you think back and you can't remember ever being having made a choice, please make sure that you know that you're saved. Walk out of here without knowing. And then there's the giving. How's your love life when it comes to your giving and showing it unto the Lord? And then faithfulness to follow through in attendance. Philippians 1:6, Paul wrote, being confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. God is faithful to finish what he has started in you. Will you be faithful to him, giving yourself unto the Lord first, and then your time, your talent, and your treasure come so much easier? So I encourage you with that. Every head bow, please. Lord, I pray that as we evaluate in our lives, we have heard your word, we have heard the message, we have listened carefully. Lord, let us take note of where we stand before you to make sure, first of all, that we have trusted you. And Lord, that we still trust you to help us through the circumstances maybe be difficult, that we may be found faithful in your eyes. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.